Good morning. I'm Katie Kingery Page, as most of you know. I welcome you on this beautiful autumn day to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan. We are a welcoming congregation committed to being a bold model of love and a beacon for progressive liberal values. If you have a guest today, or if you yourself are a visitor, would you please stand so we may welcome you or you and your guest? And if you would like, please tell us your name. Do we have any guests with us today?
I'm Jack Perry. I have been down here a number of times with Ron Knapp over the years, but I'm down here with my wife, Margaret Perry. We're on our way down to Dallas to visit our son, and that's how I happened to be here. And Ron and I have enjoyed the hospitality of Michael and Kathleen a number of times, and thank you for recognizing us.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Hi, I'm Janet Fajil, originally from Boston, now from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Muchísimas gracias for having me here this morning. And I'm a sister, Jane.
Great. Oh, welcome.
And I'm Joan Enriquez, and I'm also a sister of Jane, and I'm happy to be here, too. I'm from Kingston, Massachusetts, and heading back there tomorrow, just in time to be right in the Plymouth Pilgrim territory for Thanksgiving.
What an honor that we have Jane's sisters here. Thank you. Please turn to number 16 in your hymnal and stand and sing as you're able. 'Tis a gift to be simple. 'Today's service is a continuation of the spectrum of spirituality services we've held over the past 2 years or so. Today I will interview Miles Alexander, a member of the local Congregationalist community and an ordained minister in that same church known as the United Church of Christ. To celebrate the common roots and social actions of both UUs and Congregationalists, a theme for today's service is freedom from oppression. I now invite Sandy Nelson, congregation member and director of our religious education program, to share a reflection upon freedom from oppression and to light the chalice.
I brought my own kid-friendly matches. I have a short reading. We kindle this chalice flame, symbol of our free faith and mark of our commitment to the creation of the world we seek. We dream of a world without oppression and discrimination. Sacred flame, shine forth with justice. We dream of a world without hostility, a world where individuals and nations have learned to coexist in harmony. Sacred flame, shine forth with peace. We dream of a world where all are attuned to the needs, sorrows, and yearnings of each and every heart. Sacred flame, shine forth with love.
Thank you, Sandy. I have a brief announcement before we get going. If you've not experienced one of our Action Wednesday evenings, consider attending the first Wednesday in December. That's December 3rd at 6 p.m. here at the Fellowship. Action Wednesday, which is known as AWED or AWD, It's an evening of food and fellowship and a chance to learn about what UU fellowship committees are working on. You do not have to be a committee member to come, and nor does attending obligate you to join a committee. And I have to say, the food is always amazing. We have some great cooks who share their food on those evenings. A related announcement, the Social Action Committee Chair, Ann Cowan, invites anyone who's interested in brainstorming the agenda of the Social Action Committee to attend and sit in on the meeting at this month's OD on December 3rd. All ideas are welcome, and you do not have to be a member of the committee to attend this brainstorming session. As we do each Sunday, let us take time to hear one another's joys and concerns. I think so. Oh, Kathleen has the microphone. Thank you, Kathleen.
Okay, good. Well, I guess I don't have to tell you what my joy is. My sisters have been here since last Sunday, and they're leaving tomorrow morning. Excuse me. But I also wanted to tell you, I know that a lot of you are aware that Bill Kennedy's son, Aaron, you know Bill, our former county attorney, have you all heard that his 35-year-old son, Aaron, has come down with a very virulent form of leukemia? And he's in the hospital in Missouri, having all of his, you know, whatever they do, they kill all the cells and all of that. And it appears that he's going to need a bone marrow transplant. He does have a twin brother, Andrew, but they don't want to take it from Andrew because who knows if something might be lurking in Andrew. And so fortunately, his older sister, Rachel, is an 8-point match to give him a bone marrow transfer, and that's what you need is an 8-point match. So I'm aware that a lot of us know the Kennedy family, so I thought I would share that.
Sorry. My mom, Mary Kreitz, is just in a lot of pain with her leg and has been for several weeks, and it's really hard on her because she doesn't sit still very much. Thank
you. Okay. As we move into the week, may we keep one another in our thoughts, remembering those joys and those sorrows spoken here, as well as those that remain unspoken. The story for all ages today is Henry's Night by D.B. Johnson and Linda Michelin. The opening pages of this book contain a quote from Henry David Thoreau. "Not till we are lost, in other words, not till we have lost our world, do we begin to find ourselves." If the youth of our congregation would join me, please. I will actually need your help reading this story today. Let's meet at the front. Oh, you do, yeah? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Great, thank you. Kathleen Oldfather, who can do everything. Is that okay? Can you hear me all right? Okay. Henry's Night, this book, is about a bear who couldn't sleep, so he decides to go out on a walk. Have you guys ever had trouble falling asleep? Rose?
I've had trouble falling asleep sometimes.
What do you do? Does anything help you to relax and unwind and get sleepy?
Snuggling with my stuffed animals.
Anyone else ever have trouble falling asleep?
I have trouble falling asleep because I'm not comfy.
What do you do to get comfy?
Snuggle with you, Mama.
All the time. Anyone else ever experienced that kind of feeling?
I snuggle with my mom and dad.
So I'm hearing a lot of good snuggling is what helps you when you're having trouble falling asleep. Well, for this bear, Henry, he decided to take a walk. He felt that if he could find the bird that he heard singing at night through his bedroom window, that he would then be able to fall asleep. And that bird is called a whippoorwill. Now, Lindsay is really good. My husband, Lindsay, he's really good at making the sound of the whippoorwill. So I'm going to ask him to demonstrate it for us. And then when it comes to the time in the book, if I give you guys a symbol, will you help me make that sound? Okay, let's make the symbol this. Yeah, we'll practice in a minute.
That's what we think it is anyway.
Should we practice? You guys are great. This is going to work. Okay, we're going to get rolling. Let's see if I can get this back. Clip it. Nope. Uh-oh. Okay. All right. I'm smarter than the microphone. So let's get into this Henry's night, and we'll find the place where we need to make that sound. Can you guys see? You can't really see. I think I need to move a little bit. Could I ask you all to come over on this side, and I'll move so that as I open the book, you're perfect. You two stay. Stay right where you are. Stay right where you are. All right, this is good. Are you going to come too? If you come on this side, you can see the book. It was July 12th. I cannot sleep. The sounds of the village keep me awake. The evening train whistles. Dogs bark, and from the room below, voices drift up to me. If only I could hear the song the night bird sings. I take my collecting jar and go down the stairs. But he sees his bedroom. Almost. I'll give you the sign. The branches of my beech tree bend and pull me in. I sit up to my chin in night and listen for the bird. All I hear are berry pickers coming home from the hills. And the village bell tolling, bong, 9 o'clock. The night bird does not sing here. I slide down from the tree and leave the village. Now I walk on the dirt road. Crunch, crunch, crunch. The scuffing of my boots is loud. So I step into a field to listen for the night song. I hear nothing. The meadow twinkles with fireflies. They float around me, blinking on and off like shooting stars. I capture fireflies. They fill my jar with light. A bird swoops low to my lantern, and I ask, "Are you the one who sings the song of night?" "Not I," the nighthawk says, as it wings to the woods, and I run after, spilling fireflies as I go. The village clock strikes 10. 10 o'clock already. I stride off into the woods toward the rising moon. I walk on and on as the moon grows brighter. There is no path. Far off, I hear a bird sing. There is the song of night. The bird calls me to follow. Uphill and down, I follow the night bird's song. Each time I get close, it stops singing. Now I hear a pumper bird gulping water in the brook. "Which way did the whippoorwill go?" I ask. "It flew far from the village," the pumper bird tells me. So I fill my jar with water and hike deeper into the woods. The village clock strikes 12. When I hear the night bird again, it calls from ahead, then from behind. It leads me in circles, almost. Now it sings from beyond the hill. I hurry on to see the bird. "Wait for me, whippoorwill." A tree root trips me. My jar rolls away into a swamp. I scoop up my jar from the muddy bottom to see tadpoles wiggling in the moonlight. All around me, frogs croak. Have you seen the whippoorwill? I ask. Tronk, tronk. No one ever sees that bird, a frog tells me. Very far away, the village clock strikes two. Clouds erase the moon. Is that thunder I hear? Raindrops bounce from my hat. Lightning flashes in my jar. I leap from grassy mound to grassy mound across the swamp. Rain falls hard now, but it will not stop me. Let it pour down. I will see the bird no one sees. Wind blows me uphill. Brambles grab my hat, and rain soaks me. I cannot hear the bell in the village anymore. From a hemlock tree, an owl calls, "Hoo, hoo, who cooks for you?" Yeah, let's have an owl. Go ahead. These guys are great. Owl, I ask, am I lost? The owl does not say, so I walk on. The rain stops. Here, where the woods end, all is quiet. I stand on the shore of a mysterious lake. White fog spreads wide. It rolls from edge to edge of all I see. How will I get home? I make a raft of branches and push off into the mist. I bend down and scoop a feather into my jar. At my back, something flutters. Something sits on my head. It sings into my ear. The night bird has found me. I feel the beat of its bird heart. Past two islands I paddle. The raft, the fog, the bird song, and I. All are as light as morning air. The bird leaves me. A bush poking above the fog snags my raft. Down through leaves I tumble. Is this the beech tree in my yard? I slide down its branches to the ground. No one hears me go up the stairs. I lie in bed and wait for the noise of the morning train. Instead comes a call. The song of night. The notes flow from my jar and fill the day with the night bird's song. I sleep. Good job, guys. Nice work on that whippoorwill. Impressive. Help me sing. Everyone, help me sing our kids out. Hearts go with you. Before I welcome our guest, Miles Alexander, I'd like to provide a little bit of background that sets the stage for understanding how Congregationalism relates to UU. Unitarian Universalists share common roots with Congregationalists. We both trace our modern history to early American Protestant adherence to the theology known as universal salvation. This is a basic belief in the worth and inclusion of all people. From its beginnings, Universalism challenged its members to reach out and embrace the people who society often marginalized. The Universalists believed in a God who embraced everyone, and this eventually became central to their belief that lasting truth is found in all religions, and that dignity and worth is innate to all people, regardless of sex, color, religious belief or lack of religious belief, race, sexual orientation, level of ability, or class. Growing out of this inclusive theology was a lasting impetus in both denominations to create a more just society. Unitarians and Universalists became active participants in many social justice movements in the 19th and 20th centuries. The Universalists became the first denomination to ordain women to the ministry, beginning in 1863 with Olympia Brown. Unitarian preacher Theodore Parker was a prominent abolitionist, defending fugitive slaves and offering support to American abolitionist John Brown. Other reformers included Universalists such as Charles Spear, who called for prison reform, and Clara Barton, who went from Civil War angel of the battlefield to become the founder of the American Red Cross. Unitarians such as Dorothea Dix fought to break the chains of people incarcerated in mental hospitals, and Samuel Gridley Howe started schools for the blind. For the last two centuries, Unitarians and Universalists have been at the forefront of movements working to free people from whatever bonds may oppress them. Congregationalists, too, have been and remain at the forefront of churches fighting to end oppression. During the Bleeding Kansas era of our state's history, Congregationalists like Henry Ward Beecher, he's the namesake of our historic Beecher Bible and Rifle Church just down the road here from the fellowship, he inspired Northerners to settle in Kansas and fight to oppose slavery. In the 19th century, Congregationalists were also supporters of higher education for women, and in fact, they founded the college that would eventually become Wichita State University, originally built as a college for women here in Kansas. I'm no expert on this history, and I know very little about Congregationalism, so I will definitely leave that to Miles to help us understand his faith, tradition, and his own personal journey. Miles Alexander lives in Manhattan. He works for K-State. He helps to connect the university to the needs of many broader communities. His work is done through the Center for Engagement and Community Development, and he is an ordained Congregationalist minister. Please join me, Miles.